You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we explore the connection between the Book of Mormon and the Ark of the Covenant. Some might say that's not possible because the Nephites did not have the Ark, and that is quite true. Some might also say the Nephites didn't even know about the Ark of the Covenant. In that, they would be wrong. According to most scholars, the time of Moses and the construction of the Ark of the Covenant was at the earliest approximately 1500 BC. Some say it could have been as late as about 750 BC. That would make it certainly at the very least 150 years before Lehi and his party left Jerusalem. I personally favor much earlier than 750 BC. But whichever one of those dates you think is accurate, the Nephites, Lehi, Nephi, and the others who left with him would have known about the story of Moses. And that account would have been with them in the brass plates that they took. Let's talk about the purpose of the Ark of the Covenant. What was it and what did it do? How did it function? First of all, the basic purpose for the Ark of the Covenant was to be a chest or box to hold the Ten Commandments. The principal item in the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, on which God wrote the Ten Commandments. The fascinating thing about the Ten Commandments on the stone tablets is that these were literally written by God. This is not God's word to Moses, and he chiseled them according to Jewish history. This is literally the words that God wrote on the Ten Commandments, on the tablets. Now let's go to a parallel that has been pointed out by Latter-day Saints scholar Don Bradley. His comment is that in addition to finding in the Ark of the Covenant, the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments, we also had some other items. We had several things, and I'm going to make a parallel here. The parallel is between the Ark of the Covenant, and incidentally, for people who aren't familiar with the Ark of the Covenant and exactly how big it was made out of Acadia wood. It was 4 feet long and a couple of inches. It was 2.5 feet wide and 2.5 feet tall. So this is not some absolutely enormous item, although 4 feet is a considerable length. It would have weighed a significant amount. It had gold rings on each side so that a pole could be stuck through each one and it could be carried. Now, that's fascinatingly reminiscent of how the gold plates were carried. They had 3 brass rings through which a pole or a rod could be placed, and that allowed one to carry the gold plates. Now on to the parallel that Don Bradley has fascinatingly made between the stone box which housed the golden plates and the Ark of the Covenant which housed the Ten Commandments. Both were square, well, rectangular, and they were built to house sacred objects. Of course, the box that was built by Moroni on the hill near the Smith family home was not portable. The Ark was. So in that regard, there are some differences. But both of them were associated with hills. The hill near the home of the Smith family is, of course, where the stone box was found. And the Temple Mount is where the Ark of the Covenant was always kept after it was ultimately brought to Jerusalem. The stone box, the gold ark, was a box to hold things. One held the gold plates, one held the stone tablets. We also have interesting parallels between the breastplate and the Urim and Thummim, so-called, that were part of the Nephite relics, and some traditions that say that the Ark of the Covenant held the Urim and Thummim and a breastplate of the priests of the Jews. And then you get to the direct parallel between the interpreters and the Urim and Thummim. That is very close to a direct kind of parallel. And you also have a fascinating point here that's made, and that is that the purpose of both was to have a specific object or objects that were housed in a way that kept them safe, that enabled the faith of an entire people to be bolstered or upheld. A couple of other parallels. You have the Sword of Laban that was in the stone box on the hill. According to some early Jewish traditions, the Sword of Goliath, which King David kept and used to smite off the head of Goliath, was in the Ark of the Covenant. Of course, Laban's head was removed with the Sword of Laban, and the Sword of Goliath was used to behead Goliath. So that's a close parallel as well. You also have the Liahona that was in the stone box near the Smith family home, and the pot of manna or container of manna, along with Aaron's rod and a brass serpent. Those are also objects that were used to help heal and show a direction and also encourage people to have faith. So close parallels. I find those fascinating parallels. Let's next go to something that I think is perhaps even more important, and that is how the Ark of the Covenant was made and perhaps what happened to it, because this is a fascinating story. No one knows what happened to the stone box in which the Nephite artifacts were held, although there are a few diary entries that say the stones and the box were visible for years and years after the Book of Mormon was translated and the gold plates were taken back by the angel. The box itself wasn't that important when you're looking at the beginnings of the LDS faith. When you look at the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark itself was very, very important. It was overlaid with gold, and it had great importance. In a sense, it was like a portable temple. It was also a place not just to store objects, but according to some of the earliest descriptions of it, including those in the Bible itself, it was a place where God himself came to speak to Moses and other Jewish leaders. And in that sense, it looked very much like a portable temple. In the Holy of Holies in temples, God spoke after the Israelites permanently were established in Jerusalem. Latter-day Saints temples have a Holy of Holies, and it's in that location, particularly, and also in celestial rooms, where God is said on occasion to speak directly with people. One of the questions about the Ark that people sometimes have is, well, what did it look like? The Ark, as I mentioned before, was about 2.5 feet wide, 2.5 feet tall, and just a little over 4 feet in length. It was made of Acacia wood, and it was covered entirely of gold. This would have been gold leaf. It had four rings of gold. They were attached on the four corners, and through that there was this long pole. made out of strong wood that was used to carry it. And on the top, the most important part of the Ark of the Covenant, we'll talk about in a minute. It's time for our break. We'll be right back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
All right, we're back. This is our second segment talking about the Ark of the Covenant and its parallels between or parallels with the stone box on the hill near the Smith family farm, which contained the golden plates. Of course, one of the biggest parallels would be the plates in the Nephite box that was constructed by Moroni and the Ten Commandments, which was given by God to the ancient Israelites. But beyond that, you had some other fascinating parallels. And when we took our break, we were talking about the size and construction of the Ark of the Covenant. We don't know how big the stone box was on the hill near the home of the Smith family. But we do know the size, or at least very close to it, of the ancient Jewish box, the Ark of the Covenant. It was a little over 4 feet. It was about 51 inches. And it was about 2.5 feet wide, just a little over, 31 by 31, 31 inches wide, 31 inches high. The top of it was the fascinating part. It had two cherubs or angels facing each other. And above those angels, God was said, Jehovah, Yahweh, was said to come and speak with Moses and other early leaders after Moses was gone. Now, we should also talk a bit about how it was portable, because this is a fascinating thing. The Israelites carried it with them after it was constructed on Mount Sinai into the Promised Land. What happened to it after that? That's a fascinating story. According to the biblical account, a few years after the Israelites took the Ark into what we now call Israel, they took it to the battlefield to assist them in their fights against the Philistines. And this was done at a place called Ebenezer. One of the problems that happened there was that the Ark was captured by the Philistines, and the Jews lost, according to the biblical account, 30,000 men. Eventually, the ark was voluntarily returned by the Philistines because it turned out to be a curse for them. You can read about some of the details about how the ark was a curse to the Philistines in the Old Testament. After it was returned, the ark seems to have been kept mostly in the capital of Jerusalem. And it was during the days of King David kept in the temple. In the biblical narrative, David removed the ark and on the way to Zion to place it closer to the people, one of the drivers of the cart that carried the ark put his hand out to steady the ark and he was struck dead. People often wondered, why would God do such a thing? The Bible doesn't really tell us, but the idea is that this would instill fear and awe in the people, that the ark was to be treated in a very, very careful way. In Solomon's temple, there are records that the ark was there when Abiathar was dismissed from the priesthood by King Solomon. And we also know that during the construction of Solomon's temple, there was a special place or inner room or holy of holies that was prepared specifically for the purpose of housing the ark. And so when the temple was dedicated, the ark remained inside of the holy of holies with the tablets, the Ten Commandments, the sword that had killed Goliath, and all of the other artifacts that I've mentioned earlier. Then we get to the days of King Hezekiah. And this is fascinating because this is the time period, of course, when Jerusalem was conquered. It's also just slightly before the conquering of Jerusalem that Lehi and Nephi left and the Book of Mormon narrative begins. When they left, the Ark of the Covenant would have still been in Jerusalem. We understand that it was there when the siege of Babylon took place. In 587 BC, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem after an extensive, long period siege, which left many people starving in Jerusalem and many people who had died of injuries in the war. This was a really difficult time for the Jews. If you look at rabbinic literature, nobody knows exactly what happened to the ark. If you read 2 Esdras, chapter 10, verses 20 through 22, and somebody's saying, well, 2 Esdras, where is that? Well, that's in the Apocrypha, part of the Catholic Bible, the Bible that most Christian faiths, except the Protestant faiths, it's a scripture. It's an actual book in the Bible of almost every Christian denomination except the Protestants. And in it, it says this: the Ark of the Covenant was plundered when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. For we are, quote, for you see how our sanctuary has been laid waste and the altar thrown down. Our temple was destroyed. Our harp had been laid low. Our song had been silenced and our rejoicing had been ended. The light of our lampstand had been put out. The Ark of our covenant has been plundered. Our holy things have been polluted, and the name by which we are called has been almost profaned. And then it goes on and talks more from there. So according to 2 Esdras, the Ark was plundered and it would have no longer had a purpose after that. Now that doesn't say it was destroyed, but it implies it. And then you go to 2 Maccabees, which is also part of the Apocrypha, and we're told something different. It says that Jeremiah secretly hid the Ark of the Covenant, all along with all of its contents. 2 Maccabees tells us this, quote, the prophet, having received an oracle, ordered that the tent and the ark should follow with him, and he went out to the mountain where Moses had gone up and had seen the inheritance of God. Jeremiah came and found a cave dwelling, and he brought there the tent and the ark of the altar of incense. Then he sealed up the entrance, close quote. So this is saying, according to 2 Maccabees chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, that the prophet Jeremiah took the Ark of the Covenant, went up to Mount Sinai, found the cave dwelling where Moses had gone at the time that he originally saw God, and placed the Ark in it and sealed up the entrance. And apparently that is, according to this account in 2 Maccabees, where the Ark of the Covenant remains to this day. There are a number of other different ideas about where the Ark ultimately wound up. The Samaritans have a tradition that the priest Eli stole the Ark of the Covenant and established a rival religion with it. There's not much to support that theory. There have been ideas that it was spirited away, the Ark of the Covenant, and taken away to Ethiopia and other different places. So there are different ideas. Nobody knows exactly what happened to it. But the whole idea of the Ark of the Covenant and its contents has been hotly disputed, but remains a point of great, great interest. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, Mary is compared to the Ark of the Covenant, which I find quite fascinating. It talks about that comparison, but it never says exactly what happened to the Ark. So there you go, comparisons between the Book of Mormon, the stone box, the Ark of the Covenant, and descriptions of what may have happened to it. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.